Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to our June special series, Interview with the Witches. Yes, I am your host, Aluna Terrell, and I'm joined always by my ever faithful and loyal co-host, Tarouk Vishal.
Good evening.
And we have a very special treat for you guys. Starting with this series, every week on Wednesdays, we're going to be having this interview show where we want to reach out to you guys, the multitude of beautiful, diverse witches out there, to join us and allow us to interview you, ask you questions about your craft. How did you get started? What compels you to be a witch or a practitioner? Or anything that really aligns to your soul. That's really what we want to explore with this series. And we have our first guest tonight. She is a tarot and oracle reader. She also has a YouTube page and an Instagram page. We left all the information in our flyers, so check it out because I'm not going to butcher her Instagram name. But we would like to welcome tonight Messages from Venus.
Venus,
hi. You are on the air. Hi.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited.
I know. It's like nervous jitters for this being like the first show, but I think we're going to kill it. So.
Yes, we are.
Is there anything
you want to put out about yourself in this free little space before we get into the interview?
Well, as right now, I just want to give some ashes before we start the show because this is like the first, I guess, interview of a witch. So I want to give ashes to everybody that's watching, all the spirits, all the angels, any type of energies that people work with, that you work with, that your co-host works with, to bless us this night and give us a lot of not just views, but actually people that are actually interested in what we have to say and
Absolutely.
To give people, you know, the right perspective about what a witch actually does and what we actually represent. So, ashes to all of the above.
Wow, thank you
and
so much for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, let's get it started.
You like to?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so go.
My first question for you, Venus, is how did you discover your spiritual path as a witch or a pagan? And along that path, when did you discover tarot?
I was born into this lifestyle, I can say. I'm going to call it a lifestyle because it is like from you wake up in the beginning of the day for when I wake up in the beginning of the day until I go to sleep. This is my lifestyle. This is how I live my life. But for a very long time, I negated that part of my life. There's been many, many stories of things that I would do or say during my childhood. My parents have their own little story or stories about incidents or experiences they had in the craft, even though for the most part they considered themselves Catholics. But we always had that witchcraft energy. We always had incense going on in our house. Holy water was always present in the house. My mom was part of a very, she was part of a Christian group, but in the Christian group, they knew alchemy for whatever reason. They knew some people in churches, they say, like, cast out a demon, or they knew how to, like, calm people down, or I don't like to say cast out demons because that's really not what it is, but as far as, like, their soul or getting in contact with whatever imbalances they had in their bodies, they know how to do that. And as a kid, I was told to, like, go into the back room, don't really come out, but I was always watching. I was always into, like, what was happening behind closed doors. And then I negated that for a long time in my life. I negated my spirituality. I stopped going to church. I became an alcoholic. And then by the time I was like, maybe like 21, 22, I started going into my past again and like revisiting what I had left behind. Like in the New Age community, they like to say, you know, people that are sleeping or, not the New Age community, but in our community, we like to say people that are sleeping. As a child, I was never allowed to go to sleep because I was always aware of spirituality. So I guess you can say I was born into it.
Very interesting.
So along that path,
what about tarot?
And then tarot, I had experiences where I was learning about my background. I'm Dominican, but I'm really a mutt, and stories about how our families came about or came to be, and my background, I somewhere along the line realized that we had gypsy bloodlines within our family that nobody really likes to talk about. They don't really like to call them gypsies. They would just call them travelers that were escaping some type of issue or some type of racism in Spain or in Africa or in France or even in Haiti. So we had a lot of that in our background. And somewhere along the line, I've met people here in New York. They were psychics. And I got myself a consultation, and it was the first time that I saw somebody actually use the Rider-Waite system when I got the reading.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, because when I would see my aunt work cards, they don't work the Rider-Waite system. They work like Marseille you could say it's like a Marseille or like playing cards. So I started like researching and really getting into it. And so the people that I was associating myself with were gypsies in the city of New York. And they were teaching me alchemy. They taught me how to read the cards. They told me, you know, this is how you start. And then I started reading in the streets of New York.
Nice. Okay.
Where
so
I started.
To go off of that question, you talk about your family and some of the members of your family actually upholding that heritage and sticking with the roots of cartomancy. So are you yourself a solitary witch, or are you a part of your family's coven? Are you a part of a coven at all?
I'm not part of a coven at all. Actually, my family, they have a very weird way of practicing because I guess, I don't know if it was back in the days due to either slavery. I'm not quite sure. Like our family doesn't really know why our family keeps things on the low, I should say. And the people that are actually practicing, they're not part of a coven, even though they're baptized into the Palo tradition, and they understand what Palo is. From my mom's side of the family, I know my great-grandmother, she knew about herbs. People would come to her if they had issues with fertility and trying to have babies.
So she was a medicine woman.
Yeah, she was a medicine woman, very into her spirituality, but we don't know much about it because nobody kept records. But as far as like covens or an actual coven, I'm not part of any of that. And it's sad because in my family, due to the segregation and people converting into Christianity but still going back to get work done if they need to, you know, straighten a couple of things out, let's just say, or put, you know, people in their path or do something to somebody, they know exactly where to go, they know exactly who to speak to. And most of my family members, they go to Haiti. Now, I don't know how they know to go to Haiti or who they know to speak to over there, but the story goes that my great-grandmother's she had her kids in the Dominican Republic, but she was Haitian. And then she married my great-grandfather, who was Spaniard. And so then I guess somewhere along the line they knew where to go, but I'm not quite sure if our family is still connected to family members that we might have in Haiti.
Right. So let me ask you, what would you say the benefits of being a solitary practitioner are, if there are any?
there's a lot of benefits because you get to see everything from a different perspective. Nobody is really guiding you. You get to learn via trial and error, and I feel like that's the best way to go because it's your experience, and so therefore nobody's telling you
Absolutely.
How you should practice or what herbs to use or what resins to use or what roots to use. You learn by yourself. And the internet, thank God, and God, we have the internet nowadays. So being a solitary witch, I've been through one too many experiences with my own family hexing me or other people outside of my family hexing me. So I had to learn to be a fighter, to be a warrior of some sort and learn how to protect myself. So I feel like it's more beneficial to learn on your own. And then this way you know how to bind or unbind somebody, because I feel like a lot of people get into covens and they
mm-hmm.
connect themselves to the coven, but then never know how to disconnect themselves. Just saying that you're going to get away from a coven.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't mean
right.
that you're actually away from the coven. You're still connected spiritually. They still have your information. And so therefore things can still occur or they can still control certain parts of your life.
Wow. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Now I have a question for you. You mentioned Palo earlier, which is a form of magic in the Dominican Republic, a form of traditional African spirituality.
Voodoo.
Yes, that was. Now, my question for you is, what is magic to you, and what forms of magic do you practice? What is your favorite form? Is it spell casting, candle work, or do you prefer doing more organized rituals?
I would consider myself an eclectic witch because I'm not afraid to go into different realms, and I feel like besides calling myself an eclectic witch, consider myself more of a mystic, because a mystic knows the individual, knows to step in and out of reality, knows to be part of a group and then come back to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part of magic, I feel, is candle work, because I feel like that's more connected to the rhythm of the universe. I feel like the element of the universe, or the first element of the universe, was probably fire. The fire element. So
Absolutely.
When you do
Absolutely.
Rituals and candle work and consecrating things, the fire element is, I feel, the most powerful element that you can use. Not that the other elements don't work, but the most powerful one for me has been the fire element. And going back to the Palo traditions, I'm not. Palo is more of like the Dominican voodoo, and
mm-hmm.
it is African tradition, but it's more of like a religion, because you have to have what's called a padrino or a madrina to have you learn about the traditions. And there's not really a lot of things you can learn online. There's only put so much, because that tradition is only learned by word of mouth, and it stood like that for many, many years.
So it goes through a process of initiation, you say?
Right, yes. People get initiated.
Mm-hmm.
People pay a lot of money to get initiated. I'm not quite sure if it was like that before our time, but right now I have friends that talk to me about it, but then they're sworn to secrecy, so it's not like they can really speak about things in depth.
Right.
But it's a coven. It's like Wicca, or like a Dominican version of Wicca, I should say. But it's more of like
okay.
a mixture of religions, of Santeria, of working with the saints, also with the Orishas, and the
right.
21 divisions.
Okay. So my next question for you, since we're on the subject of family and coven, if you don't have children already, or if you plan on having children, would you take children along the magical path, teach them path working, being an eclectic witch, working with candles? Would you show that to your children? And at what age do you think it's appropriate to start initiating your child into magic?
Of course. I don't have children at this very moment in time, but I will definitely be speaking to my kids about magic and alchemy. Maybe they're not going to be tarot readers, but they're definitely going to know how to defend themselves in the world. And if they ever decide to go into some sort of religion, whether that religion be mm-hmm. Christianity or Balo or Yoruba, whatever the religion they choose, I will still be okay with that. But I feel like once I get pregnant, I will speak to my child, because a lot of people, they're like, you know, you speak to them when they're like a certain age, but the child, when it's in its mother's womb, understands the frequency of your tone of voice, and it collects the frequency of people. So when you speak to a child and you're just there rubbing the belly or speaking to the belly, the child is intaking all of that. So if you read books about alchemy, which I feel like Disney is all about magic. It's like the most magical place on the world, according to, you know, children's tradition. So I feel like when you read books about magic, that's already initiating the child and letting the child know in some way, shape, or form that there is something greater than what the quote-unquote regular person knows to manifest.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I really do agree with that. Taru?
Definitely. Yes. So my next question is, you know, I watched a video of yours where you were speaking on a Christian goddess or a Christian church that you attended where they venerated a goddess version, or I guess like they materialized the Holy Spirit as female or something to that nature. And I want you to speak on that. And I also want you to speak on your work. Do you work with spirits or gods, entities, angels? Do you work with these types of spirits, or do you prefer working with your personal power, or do you do both?
Okay, so I recently was invited to a church who understands that there is a universal goddess, because in the Bible it talks about the bride. But if you go to a Pentecostal church, let's just say, which I attended as well, and I was also baptized under the Pentecostal church when I was trying to find my path somewhere along the line. And they see the bride as, oh, that's just the church, so the physical church. But this specific church, which I don't want to give the name because they're very much into, like, the let's just say the old school way of initiating people into the church. They don't do flyers. They're not online. They don't speak to a lot of people about it unless they feel in some way, shape, or form that you are aware enough to handle the fact that there's possibly a female version of God. Now, their female version of God is not like my female version of God, which can be Nefertiti, which can be you and I, which can be Yemaya. They, to them, the universal goddess is already on the planet, and she's in Korea somewhere. In their church, they have pictures of her where they feel like this individual is a materialized goddess and is the goddess, not just a goddess, but the goddess. Which was very interesting to me, because it's still a little dogmatic, because they still want to hold on to another human to save them or do something for them. And so their church is international, but it's not international. It's not like the super churches or the mega churches. They're not all over the media or social media. It's not like that. It's very like low-key, and if you're, according to their standards, if you're capable enough to handle that information, then they will speak to you and try to teach you about their version of the goddess and what their belief is as when the person is supposed to come and save them and so on and so forth. And to go by the questions in regards to the video that I made, what was the second question again? I'm sorry.
It was, do you work with any spirits? Do you work with any angels, gods, deities, or do you prefer working with your own personal power?
I work with everything. I work with angels. I have an altar for the angels. I work with what people like to refer to her as Saint Mary Magdalene. I work with Nefertiti. I recently just started connecting with Yemaya. I work with Oshun. I also work with my ancestors, and I don't always go to them for spell work or to do something. I'm always feeding them, but as far as some people feel like they always have to go to their god or goddess to get something done, as opposed to myself, where if I need a spell and it's candle magic or whatever the case may be. I just do the spell with whatever elements I want, and I do it myself, and not in honor of any deity that I work with.
Nice. Okay, so nice, now to go into my question, do you follow a specific karmic code? When it comes to black magic, because that's like the big topic. Everyone wants to be the darkest witch, the baddest witch on the block. How do you feel about hexing, you know, cursing, you know, placing the hatch, whatever you want to call it, stepping on the thump? How do you feel about that form of magic? And would you say you would use it as an assault or only to defend yourself?
I would only use it to defend myself. I know a lot of people feel like when I first started my path and as a witch, I was talking to my boyfriend about it. And in his mind, witches only do hexes, only because most people that go to witches, especially in the Dominican Republic, and they go to witches when they need something terrible done. Now it's up to that witch to either do it for them or not, and not everybody does it. Like, I've met people that are just like, you're not going to do this on my altar. Like, this is not the type of witch that I am. But as far as if you need to hex somebody and you need to defend yourself, you can definitely do that. Now, my feeling about it is that you shouldn't go around hexing everybody because they looked at you wrong. They, you know, don't agree with your opinion, or they're giving you competition. If you're hexing people because of those reasons, that means you're very small-minded and that you're not bringing your best foot forward. And I feel like in our community, especially with the newbies, they want to just know how to hex somebody. They want to know how to bound somebody without understanding that everything is in a circle. Everything comes back. And if somebody looks at you the wrong way, you're supposed to have some type of protection as opposed to like hexing everybody that looks at you the wrong way. That's what your protection is there for. There's certain things that are supposed to be in place to protect you over certain energies instead of you giving in all of your energy to hex somebody, because hexing somebody takes a lot of energy. And so if I have to defend myself over, let's say I'm getting a divorce, which it's normal nowadays. People get divorces. If I don't want to be with you, I could just get a divorce. It's normal. If I get a divorce and I want to get rid of my husband, meanwhile, the lawyer is doing everything they have to do. My husband is signing off all his paperwork, and I still hex them. You're not practicing alchemy. I feel like you're overdoing it. I feel like there are boundaries. If that person is cooperating with you, don't try to, like, overdo it, I feel. And I feel like there's that sense of, like, overpowering or abusing power.
So what about people who use magic a lot of times you see with women where they use magic to keep a man, to get their partner back, to reconcile a divorce? What do you feel about that? Because that is a form of black magic and controlling magic as well.
Yes, and a lot of people don't realize that. They come to people for, oh, let me get a love spell. That's black magic because it's selfish. It's the left-hand path, and people don't realize that. If you're doing it for you and for your self or selfish reasons, then that's black magic or dark magic or left-hand magic. I feel like there's nothing wrong with that, but the thing about it is, for somebody that works with love magic, if your partner is not in love with you anymore and you know that partner is not in love with you and you've tried everything, then you probably are blocking your blessings. Like, there's some people that I feel like overdo it. I feel like there's some people that overdo it, and they're just like, well, I'm going to just bound this person to me. Well, you know what? You're bounding that person, not just for this lifetime, but you're creating boundaries in the ethers. If you're lighting a candle for somebody to bound somebody to you and you don't undo it, or you're forcing that person to be there when you know that person does not want to be there, you're creating boundaries, and you're creating situations or, let's say, energies in the ethers that in your next life, if you believe in the next life, you might not be able to handle. That person might come back to you, and you might pay that 10 times and then some. because then you're in their shoes. Then in the next life, you're in their shoes, and you're running around like a puppy, and this person doesn't give two squats about you. And that's alchemy. I feel like, especially in New York, people just go inside botanicas, and they or like spiritual places, and they're like, you know what, I need this. But they don't get a consultation, or I need you to dress this candle for this reason. Mind you, their husband or boyfriend or whoever is long gone. They don't care about them. I feel like people need to know if there isn't at least an ounce of love there for you, you should not block your blessings. That's just you being over-controlling, over-possessing.
That is perfect. Perfectly.
Definitely.
Now, we are getting close to our little 15-minute draw, so we have a special. Little special, Miss Venus is going to bless us this evening with a general forecast reading, which we normally do on our Wednesday show, but since it's June, you know, we're going to be having some of the feet open for other witches to come join us. So, Venus, would you please give us this reading for the week?
Okay, I am going to shuffle the cards. I'm using the Fountain Tarot for those of you who are readers and are listening in, and I'm also using the Blue Angel Messenger Oracle, which I normally use for myself, but today they wanted to come out and play. So I'm going to shuffle the cards.
The Fountain Tarot is beautiful.
Yeah, let's see what Spirit has in store for us. I'm going to pull three cards from the Fountain Tarot. And then I'm going to pull one card from the Oracle. So let's see what's in store. I know these shuffle really hard. You probably. Okay, so we have the Four of Coins, the Seven of Swords, and Judgment. And what I'm getting from the Four of Coins is that people are kind of feeling like the hermit energy, and they are taking things away from themselves and no longer fit in their life, that no longer help them. And so the energy of the Four of Coins together with the Seven of Swords is letting me know that people are releasing certain train of thoughts, and so therefore they're rejuvenating themselves, cleansing themselves of imbalanced energies, of old train of thoughts, and allowing positive energies to come in. So I'm going to pull a card from the Messenger Oracle. And let's see. And the card is Be Vigilant. And I'm actually going to put a picture of all these cards on Instagram for those of you who are interested. But what I'm getting from the Be Vigilant card is that whatever you guys are manifesting or whatever you guys are getting rid of, you're creating a new tree of life for yourself, which means a new way of living for yourself. No matter what, protect that vision that you have for yourself and your new life that you're constructing for yourself. It's important for you guys to be happy. And if you're not happy living your life that nobody else is living for you, then you might as well just declare yourself miserable forever. So be vigilant. No matter what people are telling you not to let go of certain things or judging you, don't pay attention to them in a way where you're doing exactly what other people want for you, as opposed to listening to constructive criticism, taking it into account, and then manifesting what you want.
Wow.
And that's the message that I have for you guys.
Wow, it's so funny. My card pull for the day as I'm doing the tarot challenge was the Four of Pentacles. So that's very interesting that you saw that card. I think the reading was excellent. I think we all could use that sort of advice. We're constantly bombarded with people, you know, feeling, oh, well, if you want to do this or you want to be this, you should do it this way or you should do it this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, not everyone feels the need to, you know, orchestrate their display a certain way or give off this vibe or do this. There's no concrete way of coming to magic, first of all. There's no concrete way. There's no right or wrong way. It's just about personal expression. So very good.
Which is important for people to know in our community. There's no perfect exact way. You do whatever you want, however you want it. And I also have a message that just came in from Spirit. I'm feeling like those of you who want to be in this way of living or want to be a witch, unless mm-hmm. you are being baptized into, let's say, Palo or Yoruba tradition, listen to your elders, learn from them, because the student always becomes or is supposed to supersede or over, you know, go over or be better than the master. So for those mm-hmm. of you who are wanting to come into this way of living, pay attention, you know, listen, take constructive criticism. Don't be nasty about it. So,
mm-hmm. you know, I feel like that's definitely good.
Huh?
No, I'm saying, no, it's definitely good, you know, and it's funny that your spirit told you to say that, because one of my questions was actually, what advice would you give a new witch? So you answered the question with like,
yeah, always, I always tell the newbie witches, even when I do my giveaways, I always tell them, you know, it's good to listen. It's good to listen to advice, because you can't come in here thinking you know it all. And it's the reason why I always tell myself, you know, I will always call myself a newbie witch. I will never try to, oh, I'm a seasoned witch. Well, I've been in this game for 15 years, because at the end of the day, I'm never going to learn everything. There can be a newbie witch that
Absolutely.
Has so much intention and has, you know, other ideas that I didn't see. And that doesn't make me a lesser of a witch, or doesn't make that person lesser of a witch either. So
definitely,
that's always
definitely.
My advice.
And also, I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I also, well, you mentioned alchemy a few times in the interview, and I also heard you in one of your videos speaking on alchemy and how you're able to receive both positive and negative energy. Doesn't matter what they throw at you, you're able to transmute it and change it. And I wanted you to kind of speak on that. How is it that you're able to, you know, receive these energies and change them, and you don't let negativity or what people say or even what they throw at you, whether that be magical mm-hmm. energy, however. So can you speak on that a little bit?
Well, I feel like a lot of people, it is a very good question, because I feel like a lot of people in our community are afraid to come out into the witchy community or hear themselves hexing them. True, there are witches out there that live for hexing and only create karma upon karma for themselves. And I feel like when mm-hmm. people do that, and you come into being into this community already with that mindset of, oh, I'm going to be hexed, you're literally hexing yourself. So what I do when somebody tells me, oh, I hexed you, or when I feel like these energies are approaching, or I feel like somebody sent something my way, I don't give it thought. And that in and of itself will neutralize the energy. Instead of me, you know, getting a candle, getting my herbs, getting my sage, my air elements prepared, I literally just don't even feed it. And I'll do a bath. I'll do a protection bath for myself. I'll do a sea salt bath for myself. I'll do a prayer for myself, which is something that a lot of witches don't even like to say. Like, oh, I don't pray. And prayer is very important. But I feel like alchemy is very important, because when I first started, I didn't realize that I was already doing it and how comfortable I was within the darkness until I started watching videos and reading books. And one of the people that I need to shout out here in our community, especially in the YouTube community, is Ashira Star Goddess. I was never one of those witches or people that were comfortable in meditating with the light on or meditating when outside. I was always comfortable in the darkness, and I would see that my manifestations will come through quicker in the darkness. And she has a whole playlist about that, so you guys can go check it out. And she also talks about the importance of alchemy. It's not all about, oh, I'm going to light a candle to reverse whatever this person did for me. Don't even give it that energy. And I know that sounds very quote-unquote new agey, but it literally works that way. The moment you acknowledge the fact that somebody hexed you and you give into that, as opposed to, okay, I know that somebody hexed me, but you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to look pretty. I'm going to get pretty. I'm going to do myself a bath. And just by doing that, you neutralize those energies. And then you can go ahead and do the reversal or I don't know, do whatever spell you want to do or how incantations or rituals you want to do to protect yourself. Because if you go ahead and know that somebody hexed you and you go ahead and put something above that hex, you're literally just building up energy as opposed to, like, minimizing whatever they did to you or leveling the energy that they did to you by not acknowledging it and then going mm-hmm. ahead and doing whatever it is that you want to do.
you better go in, Venus. You have
I learned all of this by being hexed one too many times, and I'm sure people are still out there trying, but you learn the hard way, but you learn.
I agree. Wow. I completely agree. That is how you learn.
It's
through
so
experience, trial and error.
We're down to just a few minutes, so I just want to take the time again to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, girl. Like,
yes,
you
do. Thank you so much for the
opportunity, actually, and for being entrepreneurs and for being the voice and the face for our community and giving our community the voice that a lot of people don't like to have or don't even care to have in our community. So I'm very happy that you guys gave me the opportunity. So thank you so very, very much, and all Ashe's blessings and love to both of you.
Thank you so much.
And Ashe's and blessings to you.
We definitely got to check out that reading that you post on your Instagram. And make sure you also post the YouTuber that you mentioned too, so we can all check her out. When you post your reading, post her at
I'm going to screenshot her page, because she's very much into the occult and she's great, fantastic. I mean, she's one of my favorite witches. She's absolutely amazing. You guys can go check her out. She's your star goddess. She is down to earth, and if you guys hit her up and she'll answer your questions, she's not nasty or anything like that. So she's a very nice person.
Perfect.
Definitely.
Perfect.
So
well,
Venus, tell the people one more time where they can find you on social media before we go.
Okay, you guys can find me on Instagram. 13MFV9 is my Instagram page, and you guys can go on my YouTube page, which is Messages from Venus. I also have an Etsy shop, which is also Messages from Venus. But you guys can go ahead and watch how I do readings, what I do, and what I'm about before going ahead and purchasing things on my Etsy, so that you guys know exactly who you're dealing with and interacting with. I will soon have a Facebook page as well, but I will announce when I launch my Facebook page. So you guys can go ahead and like that also.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Taruk. So I think it's time for closing. I really enjoyed this. Like, I can't wait.
I really did. I love this.
I can't wait to next week. And again, we are reaching out to all the witches out there. If you'd like to be a part of our show, if you enjoyed our show, definitely go give us likes and love and all that lovely attention that you guys do. Even on the fly, we see some of you. We see a lot of you. But it's all love and it's all good for being with us tonight and sharing your evening with us. Follow us on Instagram, of course, at Aluna Tarot and Taruk Bashal, and stay with us on our Triple Chalice Tarot page to see who we'll be having next week. And with that, I want to wish you guys a wonderful good night.